Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
O gracious and most merciful Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word, in which we praise you, the eternal God, the God in whom we trust, that we shall not be afraid of what flesh can do to us. Let us seek to be able to understand that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ found in God the Father. Lord, we pray that we would seek to be able to understand your word. Empower us through the Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Hear now the word, Lord, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. The grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Our culture has many things that define us, things that are critical and key. I think one thing that's seen that of a decay over the years, I have no statistical data to support this, but just mere observation, is people's understanding and view of death. Now, death is never a pleasing thing. Ever since the fall, death and decay has become a part of our normal course of life. Death began with the murder of Cain, and Cain murdering Abel. And then death throughout every age. Death through age. Death through disease. Although it's been around since close to the beginning of time, death is something that we have sought to be able to erase or forget. It's understandable, right? I think even more so in the last recent years, last century, half a century, there's been a move from doing funerals, a public celebration, worship service, and a move from funerals, which actually comes from the root Latin word funus, for dead body. This funeral is about the service of worshiping, praising God as we take care of that body. But we've changed it. No longer it's about the body, it's about a person. It's about a celebration of life, a memorial service. We seek to be able to desire the positive things of remembering and honoring the deceased rather than focusing on solely of something of the aspect of grief and loss. There are many things that have changed this. I think even in recent years, COVID, I think, has had a hard difficult path. I think many people choose to be able to go down the path of direct cremation, no service at all. Change from being public to private. But I mean, you can understand it if a funeral service is somewhat about how we respect the body of a person, if we don't regard the body as something to be respected, something that can be altered, something that is merely just thrown away, then obviously we can see this. More changes, religious views, questions of traditions, price, practicalities. Forgetting of what happens after life, after death. Living in today and not tomorrow. Many changes, but what about a funeral being called the celebration of death rather than the celebration of life? That in the Christian worldview, we have a drastically different view of what happens to our bodies, if not compared to all other religions and traditions. Now, it's not to say that there's no such thing as grief. Paul directly instructs those in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Did not want them to be uninformed about those who were asleep, but that they were to grieve. But they weren't to grieve without hope. The truth is that everybody grieves. The reality of the matter is that not everyone has that same hope. And here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter is speaking of this exact hope. We'll begin with this living hope. This living hope. We don't have time to be able to delve into this whole verse as he begins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ according to his great mercy. You could unpack that time and time again, but we'll begin there with he has caused us to be born again. Peter later explains at the end of chapter 1 of what this means to be born again. In verse 23, he says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So in Paul's understanding, the good news, to be born again is that imperishable seed, the indwelling word, the impeccable gospel. Again, a different sermon for a different day. But this external word preached, sown into the deep internal aspects of our hearts through the seed, resulting in this living and abiding word of God to blossom into the life of a believer. This is what it means to be born again. The seed that is sown, that sprouts, that produces life. Peter focuses in verse 3 of this living hope. Is born again, this seed that is blossomed. It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope. Now there's a difference. When I plant seeds in the ground normally, I have a dead hope. A wishful hope. I place dead seeds in the ground and I have some hope that something at some point might sprout from that ground. And hopefully it's the thing that I planted. Our living hope is that eager anticipation, knowing that any day this seed will sprout, this seed will grow. This is the hope found in the parable of sowers, that the seed sown in the right soil will grow. It will produce fruit. And that's this living hope, that is longing anticipation of what God has promised will carry it out. The word which is preached, the gospel which is declared, will come true. Specifically, the seed that is sown in the ground will produce life. Edmund Clowney said that hope was reborn in Peter's heart. with the sight of his living Lord. Now Peter writes to praise God for that living hope. Which leads us to our next and final point. This living hope comes from the living Lord. This living hope comes from the living Lord. He says there, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now here's the interesting and yet confusing point found in Peter's letter. Right at the very beginning, we must understand that Peter says that this living hope comes not from a dead man, but the living Lord. That this hope is not found at the empty cross, but the empty grave. That this hope comes through the living Lord. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the famous resurrection passage, he says in verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Again, you can understand why he then says we grieve, but we do not grieve without hope. We have this living hope, which says that Christ died and he was raised from the dead. And now we will follow in that path. He is merely the first fruits of all that are to come. Paul specifically even says in Romans chapter 10, and he's declaring what it is for gospel ministers to go forth to be able to proclaim the gospel, that faith comes by hearing. But before this, he says in verse 9, that you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Not merely does Paul say in this passage that you are to be able to say that Jesus is Lord. You must say that Jesus is the living Lord. That he was raised from the dead. Calvin says it this way. John Calvin. Although we have complete salvation through his death, because we are reconciled to God by it. It is by his resurrection, not his death, that we are said to be born to a living hope. Here we have salvation through his death, Calvin points out, but we're reconciled to God by it, but it's through his resurrection is how we have this hope. As John writes in the Gospel of John, that I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Again, it's not merely just saying that we believe, we have faith. There's an aspect of hope that is living inside of us, that faith brings forth this hope in us. Again, the whole Gospel of John, he writes of these things so that you may believe and have eternal life. The life stems from that belief, that faith. The death leads to decay. Death leads to demise. Death leads to destruction, dominion over Satan. However, for the Christian, that is not the case. Through Christ and his resurrection, his death leads to this great and glorious promise. The Christian, through his death, has the glorious inheritance, something to wait for, something to hope for, something to anticipate. His resurrection inheritance, as Peter spells out in the passages after verse 3, is a perpetual inheritance. It's a pure inheritance. It's a paternal inheritance. It's a place. It's a power. The God raised Christ up, loosing the pangs of death, as the Apostle Peter writes in Acts chapter 2 as he's delivering the sermon because it was not possible for him to be held by it. But again, in the passage that we just read before in Luke chapter 24, where Peter runs to the tomb and he sees that the body is not there, and then Peter finally gets to be able to see his Lord once again, to confess his sins, to hear of his forgiveness, to hear of that message. As Peter sees the resurrected Christ, as he tells in Acts chapter 10, God raised him on the third day, made him to appear not to all the people, but to us, who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Here's this living hope is based upon the living Lord. Even Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that he was buried, he raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. Then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. But we don't get to be able to see the living Lord. Not yet. We can still have that living hope, knowing that we have the living Lord, yet we have not seen him. This is what Peter says later in the passages we read before in verses 9, 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, there's a loaded aspect to that verse which is just so glorious. Though you do not now see him, you will see him. You will see the risen Lord that Peter saw, but not yet. But even in yet you have not seen him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy, and that is inexpressible, that is filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That this living hope is got this fruit that is yet to blossom, that is found in our glorious, imperishable resurrection of our body. The mortal body sown that is raised imperishable. So this is Paul's point in Romans chapter 8, speaking of what hope is, that hope is actually something that we do not see. As he writes in 8 verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? In this glorious truth we have this hope, this eager anticipation, the faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not yet seen. I'll finish with this. Briefly, how can you have this living, lasting hope because of the living Lord? What Peter began with, according to his great mercy. Not merely just according to his mercy, but his grace mercy. This word here is to use to be able to show great size and wonder. His amazing mercy, his abiding mercy, his assuring mercy, his adorning mercy, his abundant mercy. That the goodness and loving kindness, as Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, when the God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing, regeneration, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. that we have the same living hope because of our living Lord. It's a great and glorious hymn. Jesus lives and so shall I. Death, thy sting is gone forever. He who deigned from me to die lives and bands of death to sever. He shall raise me from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and reigns supreme, and his kingdom still remaining. I shall also be with him, ever living, ever reigning. God has promised, be it must. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, and by his grace, Jesus lives, I know full well. Jesus lives, and death is now, but my entrance into glory. Courage then, my soul, for thou hast a crown of life before thee. Thou shalt find thy hopes were just. Jesus, the living Jesus, is the Christian's trust. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O gracious and most merciful Father, we give you thanks and praise for this glorious truth that we have found in our living Lord. Lord, let us know and of our great hope that we have. Lord, help us to be able to see this living, active anticipation of hope as we who are born again, that imperishable seed, that impeccable gospel. Pray all these things through Christ our Lord and Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.